It's wonderful to be here this morning, and I am grateful to you that you have come to Calvary this morning to worship the Lord your God.
Amen.
Give you thanks and praise for being here, and let's bow our heads to give thanks and praise to God. We give you the thanks and the praise, O God, today, even for the weather that is a little bit chilly for us, because we know, dear God, that you have planned for us to be your people, and you have love for us at all times and all places. Before we know it or see it, you are there, dear God. Help us to bring our best selves into this hour of worship, that this worship may be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have a lot of interesting things that are going to be happening in our worship service today. Our children and youth have a program that they're presenting during the children's moment, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen, because you never know. You never know what's going to take place, but we know it's all for the glory of God. And I especially give you thanks and praise if you are visiting with us for the first time, and invite you as our special guest to fill out the welcome card that is in your pew, so that we might greet you and that we might get to know you a little bit better. And we are grateful to you for being part of our Calvary family this morning. And one of the things we do traditionally is to greet one another with the peace of Christ. Will you turn to your neighbor?
Good morning, church. I really hated to stop all the fellowship that was going on, but we do have a itinerary this morning. But how wonderful to see all of you here this morning. I'm especially, the Lord is blessed. Look at the front row here. I just love the front of the church being filled up. That is awesome. Praise God. Well, my name is Robin Stowers, and what a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house today to honor him and serve him with all that we have and all that we are. So let's give this day to the Lord. I do want to hit on just a couple. I know you've had time to look at your bulletin, but I am going to highlight a couple things. They have asked me to highlight about the Friendship Club. All the details are in here, but that will be this Thursday. Next Sunday will be the choir's Christmas cantata. We will have one service, so don't show up at 8:30 unless you want to go to Sunday school at 9. But you can do that. But there won't be any church till 10:30, and we're going to have our beautiful Saved by a Baby Boy, I believe is the name of our cantata. And poinsettias. We didn't get anything in here, but, you know, we like to decorate and have the red poinsettias for Christmas. They will be $10 for a poinsettia. If you would please put $10 in an offering envelope in your pew or put it on your check marked poinsettia. Then they will be delivered here, and then after Christmas Eve service, you can take them home. Okay? Do we have any other announcements? Betty?
I just want to thank everybody in advance for our children's gifts, their Christmas cards. I hope people, today's the last day for us, and I'll be going down this week to take the money back out to them. So thank you all in advance for what you've done.
Thank you, Betty. It is a season of giving, and we do want to remember the staff at this time of year. And also, if you didn't get one, we have an Advent offering that we're taking up the whole month of December. And the money that is collected for this will be going to our youth program. Amen. Praise God for that, and thank you in advance for that. And now, I would like for Iris Guy and Myra Nichols to come up, and they're going to be lighting our second Advent candle this morning.
All right, good morning. If you could read with me the highlighted portion. Okay, the Spirit of the God rests fully on the coming Lord. The promise Christ is full of wisdom and understanding in the Spirit of God. The promised Lord will rule with the true justice and righteousness. All fear will change to comfort. All enemies will be transformed into friends. As we trust in God, we find our peace. In the grace of God, we find our hope. Let us, with hope, kindle the light of the Lord.
If you would please stand and turn to page 211 in your hymnal. If you would please stand and turn to page 211 in your hymnals, we'll sing, O Come, Emmanuel.
Come, O come, Emmanuel.
If you would please turn to 884, we will have our affirmation of faith. We believe in the one God,
creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God, contained in the Old and New Testaments, as a sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord, for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen.
In a few minutes, we're going to have the youth come up and lead us in a special program. But in the meantime, I wanted to just tell you something really quickly. We've been talking about Advent and getting Advent is a time for getting ready for Christmas. And we are counting the weeks until Christmas. And last week, we lit one candle. This week, we lit the second candle. What was that? Oh, okay. Okay, sweetheart. And then we'll light that candle. And then the final week, we'll light the fourth candle and then the Christ candle. And that tells us that we're getting ready for Christ to come and be born. And one way we do that, the scripture tells us, that we prepare the way by making the Lord's path straight. And that's what this level is for. I can't hold it right in the middle, there where the bubble is right there, so that makes the path straight. And that's what we use a level for, is to keep things from being tilted or out of whack. They need to be absolutely straight when you build a floor or a wall or anything else. Is it straight? It's straight. So that altar is straight. But that's what we're doing. We are going to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. And one of the ways we prepare to do that is we're going to see our young people lead us in a program for the Christmas season and the Advent season. So boys and girls, you can stay right there. And I'll give you some candy, but the youth should come up and get ready for their program. Will the youth come forward as they get ready for their program? And here's your candy, Daniel and Ashton. All right. There you go. You can have one. But you have to eat it later. There you go. All right.
Good morning. Morning. Oh, you're going to be much louder. We got kids working up here. They're going to be telling jokes. And
good morning.
Good morning. Jackets with sweaters. He needs one because he's a cold man. Ron, cold man.
Cold man.
I worked on that for like 3 minutes. But now, the kids have been working hard on the Christmas skits and plays. A few of these kids have never done anything like this. First time they've been in front of people, they haven't even done public speaking. So I'm really proud of them for the nerve to do this. I've been doing stuff like this for 40 years, and I'm nervous right now. I think it's more my hair. So without much further ado, please be generous with your applause for them. If they're funny, even more applause. And is there anything else, guys?
All right.
Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Amen.
Christmas is an Easter story. Oh, what a joyous time to sing of shining star and newborn king, of shepherds, angels, and wise men too. But don't forget the Christ child grew. Yes, a babe he was, 'tis true, but more than that, he died for you. The stable and manger are not but loss. Should we forget Golgotha's cross? It's all too easy to leave him there, the dear baby Jesus in Mary's care. Many would rather a babe he stayed than he needn't be reckoned with nor obeyed. Oh, holy night, so calm, so bright, yet in Gethsemane no balm that night. And lowly manger upon the hay, and a borrowed tomb our Savior lay. Nativity's scene was just the beginning of salvation's plan. God's love transcending more than a babe in swaddling clothes. He ordered death, and the grave arose. And coming to Bethlehem, he foreknew that he must die for me and you to save our souls from sin and shame. Yeah, that is why Emmanuel came. For Christmas is an Easter story. Bethlehem, our pride. Calvary, his glory, pray we never forget to proclaim Christmas and Easter one and the same. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions.
Amen.
Mary, you are far and favored with God, and now you can see the very you can see the very son. You call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne answer David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and the kingdom will be no end. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes so torn, on the holy night so long ago, when Jesus Christ was born, the three wise men followed the shining star where they found baby Jesus laying in a manger bed. He was born, our Lord and Savior. He was with us every day. So now I pray. Bless all the ones in love. Fill their hearts with peace. Of the Lord, amen.
Amen.
My name is Bradley Wilson, and I have two jokes for you. So, one of them is the day after Christmas. The pastor was looking over the crèche the day after Christmas when he noticed that the baby Jesus was missing. He went outside and saw a little boy pulling a red wagon. In the red wagon was Jesus. He walked up to the boy and said, "Hi there, where'd you get that baby Jesus?" The boy answered honestly, "In the church." "Why did you take him?" the pastor asked. "Well," said the boy, "I prayed to the Lord Jesus and asked him for a wagon for Christmas. I told him that if he gave me one, I'd take him for a ride in it."
Aww.
The next and final one is, "I don't want to go to church." A mother went to wake her son for church one Sunday morning.
Oh, I know this one.
When she knocked on his door, he said, "I'm not going." "Why not?" asked his mother. "I'll give you two good reasons," he said. "One, they don't like me. Two, I don't like them." His mother replied, "I'll give you two reasons why you will go to church. One, you're 47 years old. And two, you're the pastor."
Hi, I'm Mariana Riviera Lopez, and I'm going to be reading today to you Shopping List. Lord, I need to talk to you. There's so much on my heart. So many burdens makes it hard to know just where to start. Thank you for your family, your mercy, and your love. Now, on to more important things. I'll give my magic lamp a rub. Give me this. I want that. Bless me, Lord, I pray. Grant me what I think I need to make it through the day. Make me wealthy, keep me healthy, fill in what I missed on my never-ending shopping list. Lord, you've been so good to me. How could I ask for more? But since you said ask, I will, because what else is prayer for? The cattle on 1,000 hills, they all belong to you. I don't need any cows right now, but something else might do. I've made my list and checked it twice. If I got it all, it would sure be nice. A big white smile on a perfect face and muscles that will fill this space. An Xbox and a PS4 and every game in the GameStop store. A mom that never yells or screams and the home I see inside my dreams. And a tennis court and a heated pool. I can use them, Lord, as a witnessing tool. And a color TV and a DVR and Jesus plates on a brand new car. Give me this. I want that. Bless me, Lord, I pray. Grant me what I think I need to make it through the day. Make me wealthy. Keep me healthy. Fill in what I missed on my never-ending shopping list.
Good morning and welcome to Live with Kate and Matt, the only talk show where both hosts can't drive. Today's special show is all about Christmas, and with us will be Mary and Joseph, Gabriel, and other special guests. And now, the pair that's fair, the two that's not blue, the host with the most, the dude and dudess, Kate and Matt.
Well, good morning. Well, good morning. It's great to be here.
Yes, indeed. Good morning, and good morning to you.
We have a great show for today. I'm so excited.
Me too. You know, Christmas Day is only 11 days away.
Well then, we better get started. But before our first guest comes out, we thought it might be funny to share with you some bloopers from church bulletins all around. Here's one. Scouts are saving aluminum cans, bottles, and other items to be recycled. Proceeds will be used to cripple children.
Poor kids. Someone ought to look into that.
Right away. So now, let's read one more. Potluck supper, prayer and meditation to follow.
More like bad luck supper.
Let's go ahead and bring out our first guest.
Our first guest is a really special one.
Hey, they're all special.
Not as special as Miss Kay Porterfield and her world famous banana pudding.
Yay. That's true, it's pretty good.
Anyways, our first guest is a spokesperson from heaven. Whenever there's a special message to be delivered, it's his job.
Let's hear it for Gabriel.
It's really great to be here. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We're so glad that you could fit us in with your busy schedule.
Yes, thank you so much.
Tell us, what is it like to have such an important job?
There's a lot of pressure involved to make sure that, one, you get the message right, and two, that you deliver it to the right person. Joseph had to be the coolest fiancé when I had to tell him that Mary was with the child. He didn't have a problem accepting God's plan.
We are glad that you were there for God, really, all of us. Thank you so much.
If you don't mind, would you tell us about your reasoning not to use FedEx or UPS or, for that matter, the post office?
Simple. Gabriel's perfect system, GPS, get it?
Well, it's great to have you here. Could you stick around for a little while?
I'm very sorry, but I need to get going. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, before you leave,
can you leave us with a joke?
Well, you put me on the spot, but I guess I'll just wing it.
Great guy. Who's our next guest?
They're so special.
Mary and Joseph.
Thank you very much.
Yes, we're so glad to be here.
What is it like to be the mother of Jesus?
Well, it's great.
Yeah, we never run out of bread or milk or Captain Crunch cereal.
Huh, I see.
And it's really sweet. All his little friends always come up to play.
Well, except the mess they make. I call them the Dirty Dozen.
That's so cute. You'll have to excuse us for a minute. We need to take a commercial break.
Now a word from our sponsor.
Is this all you hear all day? I want it. I want this. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Is every day like this? Tired of countless trips to the mall? Now, just send them to the mall and let them get whatever they want. The American Kids Express Card. Let them get everything. The American Kids Express Card. Don't let them leave home without it.
Welcome back.
And now for our top 10 list.
This morning's list from our home office in Fox Meadow, the top 10 coolest things about Christmas.
Drum roll, please.
Number 10, 2 weeks out of school.
Number 9, special, how the Grinch stole Christmas.
Number 8, 2 weeks out of school.
Number 7, the Engelbert Humperdinck Christmas Gala special.
Number 6, 2 weeks out of school.
Number 5, underwear from your grandparents.
Can't get better than that. Number 4, 2 weeks out of school.
Number 3, mistletoe.
Number 2, 2 weeks out of school. And the number 1 coolest thing about Christmas.
The reason for the season.
Jesus.
Yay.
Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time.
We hope that you'll come back tomorrow.
When our guests will be Santa and his elves, with special guest, stand-up comedian, Frosty the Snowman.
The other Christmas story.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
See you tomorrow.
Stand up so we can give them applause for what they did. Yay! You want to say something?
Thank you guys very much. Really, I'm super proud of you. Thank you for the support and the support of the people. I hope I can do this. So thank you very much.
Yay! As we prepare to receive the morning offering, I do want to mention that our discretionary fund for people in need has been depleted almost down to nothing. So we are making a special appeal for people who have needs that come into our office. That's what the pastor's discretionary fund is for, is to help people who have emergency needs that come into our office during the week. And at the end of the service, there will be two baskets on either door for you to, if you feel led to do so, to make a special contribution to the pastor's discretionary fund. Will the ushers please come forward as we prepare to take the morning offering? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of children and for their happiness and joy in the Christmas season. And let your love continue to grow in their hearts and minds as we share together in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was our special music this morning.
That was cute. That was cute.
The last time I sang a solo, my boss chided me for not using the microphone, so we want to make sure that we keep our bosses happy. So here we go.
Thank you. It's always something special when we get to hear from George.
Amen.
I want to mention some of the ones I know of that need our prayers this morning. Bill Tasker, who is a brand new member of our congregation, he and his wife Cora joined a couple weeks ago. He had some illness that sent him to the hospital, but he is back home now. I was kind of hoping he'd be here, but I guess the weather and his illness are keeping him at home. So keep in your prayers, Bill Tasker. And Laura Law is finally out of ICU and out of the hospital altogether. She's in rehab at Life Care on Kingsley and making a slow recovery from the procedure that she underwent about 2 weeks ago. So keep her in your prayers as well. And let's spend some moments in silence as we go to God and listen for God's voice to us, and make your prayer this morning, if you would like, whether silently or aloud, the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that you would like to have God's healing touch surround today. Let us pray. Beth Reiser and Katie and Ben Carley. We offer these to you, O God, today. And pray your blessing upon them and keep them, and let your healing touch surround them, those that we named and those that remain unnamed, dear God. We pray for this world that we live in, that you love and have created for us, but we pray that you will continue to throw your bounteous love to our lives, dear Lord, we pray. And help us to mean it when we pray together the prayer that your disciples, that you taught your disciples to pray when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to page 384 in your hymnals, we will sing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Follow along with me as we listen to our scripture reading this morning, Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who was more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God.
Confession. It's rather a ghastly thing that we have in our culture, like pouring a bucket of ice water over your head at one of those football games. Confession. It's one of those things that the powerful and the criminal squander wealth and power to avoid doing. Think of the crime dramas that we see on television in which the detectives use their experience and their nose for smelling rats and their valor and fitness, all to bring the criminal to confession. Think now of our politicians. One like Bill Clinton, who put the whole country through agony while he tried to parse the meaning of the word "is" in his impeachment hearing. 8 years as our president, and his most remembered quote will be, "I never had sex with that woman." Think also of Charlie Rose, who was sure that he saw consent in the eyes of the women on his payroll who were half a century younger than he was, and he slipped into his bathrobe. Or think of Congressman Conyers, who has checked himself into a hospital to avoid confessing to sexual harassment, for which he paid hush money. He is still insisting on his innocence, wanting his accomplishments to somehow inoculate him against his sin. And think of all the taxpayer dollars that were used to provide his inoculation. But who can forgive what remains unconfessed? Think of all the rest, and there are too many to name. All the dirty and sleazy confessions. Oh, Lord, Lord. But now let's hear the word of God. "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you." Mark tells us that John the Baptizer appeared proclaiming a baptism of repentance of sin. And that would be astounding enough were it not for the next part of the account, that people from the whole countryside around Judea were going out into the wilderness to be baptized by John and to confess their sin. John the Baptist is an astounding religious leader on the world stage. He's not meek. He's not wealthy. He's not charming or handsome. He sort of rants, and he's uncombed, and he eats locusts and wears camel hair. Before this, the messengers of God have always been angels, and we all know what angels look like, don't we? According to the medieval paintings, they're dressed in white robes with wings and have halos over their head. And all this is based on, well, it's not based on Scripture, because we don't have that description in our Scripture. So I think it could be that John the Baptist is an angel. And so we can ask, is this what angels look like? It's certainly what this messenger of God looked like. And then who are these people who flock out to this wild-haired guy and willingly step up and confess their sin? Clearly, they're not us. We would prefer not to have to confess. We're those people that are sure that we're not wrong. We make mistakes, of course, but we do not commit sins. We're sure the charges are exaggerated against us, and however we may have regrettably hurt someone, well, you consented, didn't you? We're good people. And yet, the word is that the only road that leads to Christmas begins with confession. With a heartfelt contrition that we are not the people we have pretended to be, that we have sinned and sinned and sinned some more. And that in the words of the old confession, there is no help in us. So what do we do to avoid confession? We have counselors who are available to us to deal with our grief and despair so that we will not feel so bad. We maintain our self-esteem with lawyers and denials and parsing of words. And if need be, with a few remedial prayers. It appears, however, that God won't have it. If we are to get to Christmas, we have to get there through an angel. Absolutely everyone involved with Christmas gets there by way of angels. Mary had an angel visitor. Joseph, as was mentioned in our youth program, had an angel in his dreams. The shepherds had a whole host of angels. And the Magi, who messed up on following the star, had an angel who straightened them out. And who do we have? We have John, the voice crying in the wilderness. He alone knows the way to Bethlehem. And we will find our way to the cradle when we can pour out the shame we have been hiding within ourselves. And that requires us to cease being the monitors of others' hearts and look honestly into our own hearts, where we have been hiding a collection of false idols. We have the false idol of the perfect soulmate because that person doesn't exist, but our culture tries to tell us that it does. Or we have the idol of the perfect voice of God, our mentors in the faith, and we believe that our mentor will never offend us and never challenge us, never get us outside our comfort zone, but will always make us feel wonderful always, because surely the angel's job is to make us feel beloved. Isn't that what God is about? But biblically speaking, it's not. This is not what God is about. All the angels, all the messengers in Scripture who waited on Gideon and Joseph and Jonah and Mary did not make them feel beloved. They challenged them to go as far away from their comfort zone as possible, to take up tasks they did not want to do, to set aside their own plans, their own pleasure, and to risk everything for the sake of God. Angels, my friends, do not come to bring us comfort. They come to bring us God's word as messengers and what God asks us to do. I am not worthy, said John, making his own confession before all of this throng of strangers, any one of whom could have turned him in to King Herod. He says, I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. And that was before he met Jesus. And so that is to be our road to Jerusalem. It winds through our own unworthiness till it reaches a place where we may be born anew. For we are preparing to receive the gift of the Christ child, and we prepare, my friends, for our own rebirth. And the question to ask yourself this morning is, what has to die in you before you can be reborn this morning? We have a couple of weeks to go yet, so we look forward to the pink candle next week. The third Sunday in Advent is about joy, and we can leave the repentance and confession that we so need to hear for our lives. Thank you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please stand and turn to page 666. We will sing Shalom to you.
Thank you.
the parsonage this afternoon. Anytime between 2 and 4 o'clock, the address is in the bulletin. You are welcome to come, and it is your house, and I want you to feel like you are welcome there. And so I invite all of you to come. Don't forget, what time is church next week? 10:30. And what time is Sunday school? 9 o'clock. That's wonderful. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you as you leave this place. Go in His peace. Amen.
Remember, wherever you go this week, be sure to use your purse.
Amen. Amen.